Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Almost said Nick Suss. He is going to be with us here in about 30 seconds. But Nick Keyser is also with us here on the program, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We're taking your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Nick Suss of the Tennessee and covers the Tennessee Titans. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Nick, you had an interesting stat yesterday that you tweeted out about Christian Fulton, and that teams targeting him this year have a perfect pass rating. Obviously, things did not go very well for him on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. How concerned, if you're a Titans fan, do you think that fans should be about Fulton and the way that he's played so far this year when he's been available?
7 out of 10. I mean, some of those plays are... It's tricky to say because I think he's only given up about 13 of those yards after the catch. He's there. Like, it's not like he's getting burnt and then guys are running for 40, 50 yards. When you're losing contested catches, that is concerning. But it's also not necessarily the most sustainable way to lose if you're tending to be around the receiver. Some of these balls against the Saints and against the Browns were close calls, and he lost the close battles to pretty good receivers, but also we're calling Rashid Shaheed a pretty good receiver at this point too. It's kind of a weird balancing act where I think that's probably an outlier, but it's a really notable outlier given the way that the secondaries performed these first couple of games. I mean, dating back to last year as well. And you also have the whole situation of this being his final year of his rookie contract, and you'd probably want to show out in this year. So yeah, it's a complicated situation. I'd say it's concerning, especially when, I mean, Sean Murphy Bunting had a couple of rough penalties last week, and Roger McCreary was awesome for 2 weeks and then kind of regressed in week three, and the cornerbacks in general. I think Deshaun Watson was like 19 of 21 when targeting receivers on Sunday. That's not going to win you games if teams can throw to their receivers and not have any issues.
Yeah, let's keep in with the defense, Nick. Titans got 3 sacks. They had some pressures and things like that. Early in the game, they certainly were getting there, and then less and less as the game went on. Maybe fatigue becomes a factor. You're always on the field. But personally, I've been underwhelmed to whelmed with this pass rush since the first half at New Orleans. Where do you think that is?
I've been trying to figure that out myself. I look at the pass rush, and the guys are correct in saying they're getting there. They got to Deshaun quite a few times. They couldn't bring him down, which tough to do. He's a good scrambler. But Arden Key hasn't been the guy he was in that first half, you're right. And DeNico Autry and Harold Landry haven't really flashed other than a couple of plays here and there. I think Jeff Simmons has obviously been fantastic creating the pressure from the inside. But yeah, they haven't had that kind of domineering pass rush you'd want, and especially not on first and second down. They've done a pretty good job of getting there on third down when they need to dial it up. But those early down pressures, I think Vrabel alluded to this yesterday, those early down pressures haven't been there as consistently, and that's allowing teams to get in rhythm. And I think the thing that was astounding about the Browns game is until that long pass to Amari Cooper at the end of the game, all those drives were methodical, and they weren't running the ball. Like, teams aren't running the ball methodically against the Titans, so it was methodical 5 to 10 yard chunks in the passing game. And if you can't force them to be incomplete with your secondary, and you can't force them to go backwards with your pass rush, that's why teams don't have to run the ball, is because both of your pass defense phases aren't really posing that much of a threat. And again, three games is a small sample. I know that they played against a Browns team with a really good offensive line and a Saints team with a pretty darn good offensive line as well. But it's the NFL. Most teams have good players, so you don't want to make that excuse too often.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Nick, on the Titans offensive line side of things, how do you balance knowing, number one, that you're not going to be playing against Myles Garrett every week and he can't wreck the game against you like he did on Sunday, but also what we've seen from the offensive line through three games? Where do you think that is, and is any of this correctable in your mind, or is this just what the Titans offensive line is going to be moving forward, which is not very good, particularly against the, you know, pass blocking?
So I was much more concerned in the Cleveland game about the run blocking than the pass blocking.
Agreed.
Because the pass blocking kind of is what it is, and it wasn't terrible the first 2 weeks, but they were kind of notes of, oh, if you're going against Myles Garrett, things might go badly. The run blocking, Derrick Henry had 20 rushing yards on Sunday, and he had 32 yards after contact. That's pretty much all you need to say, is that the dude was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage so often that he had almost twice as many yards after contact than he did actual net yards. And that was really what surprised me, because, look, the Titans offensive line is going to give up some sacks here and there, and I'm not saying that's okay, but you kind of make that trade-off because these dudes are getting off and they're creating these holes for Henry and for Tajay Spears, and you're fixing things there, but they couldn't establish either, and that's where I was concerned, is that I don't know if you fault one guy, I don't know if this all falls on Dillard, but the right side of the offensive line, I think you were averaging 2.3 yards per carry running right on Sunday, so it's not like you were doing that much better going that way. That's what I was really wanting to see get better going into week four, because look, you're right, you're not going to play Myles Garrett that often, and dude had the kind of game that makes you think, oh, maybe he's the defensive player of the year this year. Okay, he beat us. But going from there, you can't let every team turn the game into that.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing. I guess I'm not as down on Dillard as some people, just because it's just an impossible matchup, and I think he should have had help more than he had help in that game. But I do still come away, Nick, wondering, you know, is there any talk, is there any possibility of, you know, moving things around? I mean, at some point. I think Vrabel made it clear it's not happening this week. But Nicholas Petitfrere comes back. You do have Skoronski coming back at some point, and I still think it would be interesting to see him out there at left tackle. What's your sense for that? Do you think we're going to see that? Do you think, last year, Dennis Daly got tried out there week after week, even though he was struggling, but of course they didn't have the same options, I don't think, that they do have this year.
The Skoronski thing is interesting to me, because you've been out there as much as I have, Joe. He didn't practice it. Like, he's been here since May or late April or whatever it was, and he had a couple of reps at left tackle in rookie camp, and since then he's essentially been a guard. And I have little to no doubt that if he played left tackle, he'd be good at it. He's a very good blocker. That's his whole thing, is that he's as technically sound as anybody who was in the draft, probably more technically sound than anybody in the draft. And he was a great left tackle in college, and he was a great left tackle in high school, and those skills are transferable. But this is the NFL, and throwing a guy at a position he just hasn't practiced because somebody else is struggling, that's tough. And then you risk his confidence, and you risk all of the momentum he's had progressing, and it makes it really tricky. So I don't know, when Steve Frere comes back and when Skoronski comes back, and as Ravens continues to kind of progress back and keep getting healthier and healthier after the ACL, I think that a lot changes. I think that a lot of these roles end up being up for grabs, but I just really don't know how you get Skoronski to a place where he can be anything other than a guard this year.
Nick, how do you view what you've seen from Treylon Burks through three games? I mean, he, obviously against the Chargers, He makes the play of the game. It's a 70-yarder. It changes the game, and the Titans' offense takes off after that. Outside of that one play, there really hasn't been much from Burks to this point. What are you seeing from Burks through three games so far?
It's really tough to figure out. You're right. I'm struggling to see how this guy who looked so good for the entire offseason is making such a little difference in these games if the injury is not involved. And he insists the injury is not a factor anymore, and you have to take him at his face value, take him at his word. If you're taking him at his word, he was targeted 6 times. He caught 1 pass on Sunday, and 2 or 3 of those passes that he didn't catch were probably pretty catchable. I struggle to think that it's all related to scheme. I struggle to think that it's all related to the coverage doing well or Tannehill missing him. I mean, some of these balls are right where you'd want them to be. So he's a guy that really needs to step up, because it's strange to say after the big ballyhoo we made about it all offseason, I think the rest of the receivers on this team are playing as well or better than I expected. D-Hop's been about as good as I thought he'd be. Chris Moore's been better than advertised. Nick Westbrook-Akina's been consistent. I think that this receiving core, if Traylon plays up to the potential we all saw from him this offseason, has the potential to be, you know, not a liability, which was the big question mark the entire offseason. We're spending months and months talking about, is this receiving core going to be good enough to compete in the NFL? The rest of the guys seem like they're doing their roles pretty well. So yeah, Traylon's a guy that I don't have doubt that he's going to figure it out, but these first 3 weeks haven't been the most stellar.
Taking it outside, taking it to the AFC South at large, because we asked this question, Nick, just love to get your thoughts on which team/fan base should be more worried, Titans or Jaguars right now?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I think that the Jags, probably the worry's a little bit more surprising, might be a little bit more visceral. So it's probably the Jags coming off of a couple of rough offensive showings. The entire AFC South is in a position where, as usual, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't necessarily buy the Colts being this good this early. Maybe they are. C.J. Stroud, he's looking really good. I mean, he's looking like a quarterback that deserved to go in the top two, and that's not a surprise either. He's a good quarterback, but did we think he'd be this good this early? Of course not. Where's this coming from, especially with a supporting cast that people were down on? Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence has been really mediocre this year, which is not supposed to be what a quarterback in year three does after he was so good in year two, and then gets Calvin Ridley. And then, obviously, we can talk about the Titans' shortcomings all we want, but it's a tough thing to get a read on this division, especially when the Titans haven't played any of them yet. And gosh, when's the first game? Week 5 against the Colts. Yep. Maybe we'll be able to tell a little bit better week and a half from now, having seen the Titans interact with the division. But right now, yeah, Jacksonville is one of the biggest surprises in the NFL, regardless of this division anywhere.
Well, Nick, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, appreciate it, guys.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Nick had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to the C10 Nationals at Nashville Super Speedway coming up this Friday and Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the C10 Nationals at National Super Speedway this Friday and Saturday. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Nick Suss for being with us in the last segment. Andy Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "Try telling you guys, there's a decent chance the Titans' offensive line wouldn't be any better than last offseason, especially when you have backups all over the line, except at left guard. I smell another first-round tackle in the draft next year." It's from Andy Ben on the text line.
Is Andy Ben more of a Colts fan or an anti-Titans fan?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Would you rather the Titans lose or the Colts win, Andy Ben?
I'd love to know the answer. Like, my dad, big Alabama guy, way more of a Tennessee losing guy, like, for sure. Like, I mean, he cares if Alabama wins or loses, but it's really, like, if Tennessee loses.
He just wants the Vols to be in misery.
Correct. Yeah. That's basically what he cares about.
I like that.
Which is fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
I always enjoy that. Really doesn't get annoying ever.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure you've handled that well over the years.
I'm sure, I mean,
he hasn't had many opportunities.
Not a whole lot of losing has happened.
Enjoy that.
No heartbreak whatsoever. Chris on the text line says, do you guys think D-Hop has really been that much better than expected? This is from Chris on the text line. My answer, Joe, and I got back to Chris on this, I think he's been about exactly what I thought he would be. Like, I think he's been good. I think he's made some plays. You know, the catch that he made on Sunday on the sideline, great catch. I mean, classic DeAndre Hopkins catch there. I think he's been good. He's dealing with the ankle injury, so that's been the problem from him. He hadn't been able to practice much of the last 2 weeks. Four catches, 40 yards against the Chargers a couple weeks ago. And look, the Titans didn't do anything in the passing game, but the two plays that they made down the field, one was to him, the other was to Chris Moore. So I don't know that he's been better than expected, but I think he's been good. Like, DeAndre Hopkins has been fine.
Yeah. I'd say he's been right around in line with what I thought he'd be. I guess where I would say better than expected is that I absolutely thought this might turn into a Julio situation with constant injuries, and I know it's early in the season. Right now, he's been available. He's been, practice, camp, and now he's fighting through the ankle injury and playing a game. So if that continues, yep, then it will be a beyond expectations.
Trevor on the text line says, how about that S2 score with C.J. Stroud now? What do you think of that?
Yeah, well,
he looks good.
This kind of goes to I saw a lot of S2 stuff over the weekend with Stroud's big game. It kind of goes to emotion in a football game. It's a factor. I mean, those tests can be valuable. They are not the absolute be-all, end-all of everything. Also, it was one game, And look, the Jags have some issues.
They do.
They can't rush the quarterback.
Hey,
that's not a good thing.
Titans tried to trade up and get C.J. Stroud. Just didn't quite work out for him.
Hey, maybe Stroud's the guy. Maybe he's going to end up being the one who's great out of this crew. I mean, who knows?
Could be.
But, yes, the S2 score, there's going to be some good ones and bad ones. And also remember, with the S2 score with Stroud, it's pretty clearly communicated, as much as it could be communicated, that he had a really bad score on a day where he didn't want to take the test and he was flustered and upset and whatever, and then took it again and he had a much better score.
Coy from Clarksville on the text line, honorary member of the Robbie and Rexford Fantasy Football League, says, if we don't improve by the trade deadline, don't be surprised if we're a big-time seller. Rand comes from the 49ers, who sold the farm for Trey Lance. Maybe we get a firepower with draft picks and get a quarterback, then spend $100 million in free agency on an offensive lineman. Now, just for clarification, they did not sell the farm for Trey Lance. They gave up the farm.
Exactly.
To go get Trey Lance.
Yeah.
They gave up multiple first-round picks.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, if the Titans go totally the wrong way, then I think some trading deadline moves could happen. Yeah, it's like we were talking earlier. Who were you talking about who's like half in, half out? Is
Minnesota.
The problem with just about all these teams, and look at the Titans. Like, it's very hard to find a team that can go all the way rebuild. I mean, the Titans have Jeff Simmons in his prime right now making a huge number, and
yep,
that's not going to change, So, there's always urgency to get back quickly, and usually in the NFL you can get back quickly to being a 9-win team in this league. It's designed for you to quickly do that. The question is, it really comes down to, are you trying to, like, you're so bad, you change quarterbacks, go with the young guy, and tolerate, 3-4 wins and get really high in the draft and try to get a Marvin Harrison Jr. or something like that? I mean, that's one thing. But if not, then, basically, I don't think it's going to be a quote-unquote full-on rebuild. I think it's going to be a quarterback change, and there is a lot of cap space. That's right, I said cap space,
yes,
for the Titans this offseason, and they can do something with that. But the Tannehill thing is the thing we talked about earlier. I'm not ruling that out. If the Jets are, just clearly Zach Wilson's awful, clearly the rest of the team's really good, and a Tannehill or a Cousins could come in and at least get that team to the playoffs.
Problem with that is, and I hear you, I'm with you, but the problem with that is, like, I feel like that's got to happen soon. Like, the Jets are The Jets are on a clock here.
Well, that's true. They may be in their own misery too much by the deadline.
They're 1-2. Now, granted, they do have the Broncos coming up in a couple of weeks, and you know Zach Wilson may put up 30 in that game because you know they just gave up a 70 spot. But they got Kansas City this Sunday, and I can't imagine that game going well for the Jets based on what we've seen with Zach Wilson at quarterback and the way that Kansas City defense is playing. You got the Broncos after that, the Eagles after that. I mean, you very well could be in a situation 3 weeks from now where the Jets are maybe at best, you know, 2-4, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, like, if you're going to make a move, I feel like the time for that to happen is fastly approaching for the Jets.
Well, and so then if we talk about Tannehill, then it's not happening. I mean, the Titans right
That's
now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like.
Now, maybe the Vikings.
Yeah. Could be a little different.
I mean, don't they in another 0-3 versus 0-3 game this week? Another winless game? I think they are.
They could be.
But it's against a team that could absolutely beat them. I mean, if they get to 0-4.
I mean, if they get to 0-4.
Do you really start to see that materialize as a possibility?
Vikings-Panthers on the road.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. They'll probably win, but what if they don't?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're doing in terms of their approach to it. Because that's the other thing. They have Justin Jefferson before they're paying Justin Jefferson. Right. Like, they're getting ready to have to spend a ton of money on him. So what does that look like as they move forward? I don't know. Jason in Dover on the text line. With the horrendous offensive line, how can we evaluate any skill players? And taking that to the Burks
discussion. I think there's some truth to that.
I mean, I agree. Now, having said, like, Burks dropped two balls on Sunday.
Yeah.
There's one over the middle where – I mean, Ward gets his hand in there late, but, I mean, Burks has got position on him. You got to come down with it. And then there's one late in the game when the game's already over, and you say, who cares? The game's already over. But, I mean, you're still out there playing. You're on the sideline, and the ball hits him right in the hands, and he just can't come down with it. Like, he's made one play this year. That's it. And it was a great play. It's a hugely important play that Treylon Burks made in the Chargers game. But that's it. That's all he's done so far this year, which is concerning to me.
Right. And I agree, you know, like, for example, I'm not evaluating either back Sunday. That's a great stat from Nick Suss, you know, the more yards after contact than yards. So they had no chance. In two of these three games, the offensive line has held up enough for Tannehill to throw passes and, you know, they've made plays or not made plays. He missed passes in the first week. He hit just about everything in the second week, you know, so – it's not like it's all. Let's remember this Browns defense. You know, Vrabel said this yesterday. He said Browns and Saints. I think in particular with the Browns. You know, let's remember that Joe Burrow had 82 yards passing against that defense too. He also could not set up, could not do anything.
They're very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I think they could be a special defense. But about a week ago, I thought the Cowboys were the 85 Bears. So who knows? We'll see.
615-737-1025. Continuing the conversation on the Titans, getting back to the question of the day. Who should be more worried right now, Titans fans or Jags fans? Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone line. 615-737-1025, our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden on the text line, answering the question of the day, Joe. Says, Jags fans should be more worried that all the expectations on them this offseason and the national media anointed Trevor Lawrence as a top five QB. Outside of Nashville, the Titans had no expectations. That's from Matt from Camden on the text line.
Yeah, we addressed that earlier. That's really not what we're asking. I mean, if we're asking who's a bigger disappointment right now, it's easily the Jaguars. Because, as you said, they have the expectations. But, I mean, we're talking about who should be more worried about performance moving forward. So the expectations aren't a factor. It's just
who do we think can dig their way out of this?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think both you and I would give that edge to the Titans in terms of who should be more worried. I mean, the offensive line scares the crap out of me if I'm a Titans fan moving forward. And quite frankly, like the defense, who you know we think is a strength of this team, they've been that at moments so far this year. But, I mean, they were bad Sunday. Bad against a Browns team that hasn't been that good offensively, and they looked really good offensively against the Titans. And look, I know, you know, we've already got some of it today on the text line, and like I said, we'll break down the Bengals in more detail as the week goes on here. I know that offense has struggled, and they struggled again last night, and they figured some things out in the second half. I mean, Burrow didn't throw a touchdown pass in that game. But isn't this, like, if you're a Titans fan, knowing what you just saw last week against Cleveland and Deshaun Watson finally figuring things out against your defense, I mean, doesn't that scare the crap out of you with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins coming in? It worries me. I know that. And I know Burrow's hurt, and I don't know how limited he's going to be because of that calf. But I still look at that Cincinnati offense, Joe Mixon, and what he does in the backfield. Like, if the Titans' defense isn't on their game, that offense could put up a number on Sunday at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, I have to agree. I was very underwhelmed watching the Bengals last night for most of the night, and I do think it's a good thing for the Titans that, you know, that Joe Burrow has this calf injury, can't move. They were very ineffective much of the night, but to your point, I mean, the Browns have also been very ineffective, and then all of a sudden magically found effectiveness against the Titans secondary. So, yeah, it's a concern, and I'm going to flip it around. Trey Hendrickson had a couple sacks last night. He's not Myles Garrett, but he's awfully good.
Yep.
And so there's another, I think they have five sacks of Stafford. They were well into the teens and pressures. So it's another team that can get after the passer. I mean, look at this game. Think back to the 9-sack game against Burrow. That's the type of game that this Titans pass rush has to have to win the game. They have to cave in the pocket.
I realize not everybody's Myles Garrett, but at this point with the Titans offensive line, I mean, the better question is probably which teams are not going to be able to get after the passer, right? I mean, that's where we are.
The with Jags the look like
line.
One right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
they
may
way.
Not be. Yeah, they may not be able to.
That's one of their big concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a text that says the Titans have more to worry about. The Jags have a team that has building blocks, and you feel like they can make it click anytime with Trevor Lawrence. Titans are looking like they're doom and gloom. Got another text that says the Titans are more worried. The offensive line, a disaster 2 years in a row. We'll be drafting another offensive lineman with our first round draft pick again. This is from an unnamed texter on the text
line.
Just
keep doing it, man. Just keep doing it. You'll hit on something. I think they got a good one in Skoronski, I will say. You know, another thing with the Jags, if anybody hasn't seen the Andrew Beck kickoff return, which, the way, the first fullback to return a kickoff for a touchdown since Derek Wimbush of the Jags 18 years ago.
Sure.
I mean, that was like the classic. You know, they get it to 17-10 the third. So they finally score a freaking touchdown at home in their seventh quarter of football at home this year. But they make it, you know, you're like, okay, they're going to come back and win. It's 17-10. And then, you know, Beck drops the ball. And so then everybody comes away and somehow he picks it up and just, it's like Tecmo Bowl, you know, Bo Jackson or something.
Yeah.
You know, tacklers are just flying off him. He goes all the way. It's just a fluky, weird play. Terrible by the Jags because four or five guys should tackle. But I'm just saying, there's an example of a play that I think kind of killed him in that game. They were not able to come back from that. And it's just kind of fluky.
Yep.
There's a lot of issues with the Jags. Don't get me wrong. And Michael Duraco of ESPN, here's a stat from him. The last three quarterbacks the Jags beat in the regular season, Zach Wilson, Davis Mills, and Joshua Dobbs.
Yes.
Shout out Joshua Dobbs, by the way, just beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, he did.
But, you know, they are not a perfect football team. And as I mentioned with the pass rush, and they really, right now, they have none. Travon Walker's not doing anything. They're not getting after the quarterback. Their offensive line's not great. They're 30% on third down. So they have plenty of concerns, but I agree with the texter in that I still think that there's more that you can see coming together for them, and I'm more concerned about the Titans, starting with the offensive line.
Let me ask you a question. What's more embarrassing, giving up a touchdown return to a fullback on a kickoff like the Jags did on Sunday, or back in 2010, the Packers gave up a 71-yard kickoff return by Dan Connolly of the Patriots, who was an offensive lineman. Did not score a touchdown on the play, but he did get down to like the 9-yard line. So what's more embarrassing, a 71-yard kickoff return by an offensive lineman on a squib kick or a touchdown by a fullback yesterday?
Oh, the offensive lineman. Because the Beck guy, I mean, he can run.
He can run. No, yeah, I mean, he looked good.
I mean, he turned it on, man. He turned on the burners. Yeah, an offensive lineman, 71 yards. That is quite embarrassing. Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, look, the Jags, you know, we talked about their offensive performance. I mean, they've got Ridley, they've got Etienne, they've got Kirk, they got like they got a lot of guys offensively, and they've been terrible on offense the last 2 weeks. I mean, I thought they actually looked, you know, offensively, Calvin Ridley looked great in week one against Indy, and I was like, well, here they go. Calvin Ridley's about to take off and have, you know, a 1,500-yard season for the Jags. And ever since then, I mean, they got nothing done against Kansas City. And last week against Houston, I mean, it was embarrassing offensively what they were able to do. By the way, they gave up 37 to the Texans as well. I know one of them was the kickoff return that we're talking about. They play Atlanta on Sunday. I'm just saying, like, if things – if they look bad on offense again on Sunday against a defense that I think is okay in Atlanta, but it's certainly not, you know, one of the upper echelon defenses in the league. If they can't get anything done again offensively Sunday, like, that's pretty concerning to me if I'm a Jacksonville fan, given all of the talent that you feel like they have on paper, which I think everybody would agree, Jacksonville is more talented offensively than the Titans are on paper.
No question. Gigantic game against the Falcons. Gigantic game because the way the Bills are looking right now, that's going to be a tough one. Two straight weeks in London. So, I mean, this is a huge game. You mentioned Ridley, 8-for-101 in the touchdown. Like you said, there he is. He's got 5 catches for 72 yards in the last 2 games and has dropped some big throws too. So, again, I think Calvin Ridley, what we saw in the first week, I think you're going to see some more weeks with that. You know, he's talented.
Yep.
They have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. So I think ultimately, like, they're going to be a better offensive team. I can't imagine they won't. I do feel like they're, like, you know, average at best defensive team.
Caleb and Gallatin on the text line says, if I remember correctly, when we had that historically bad defense, Kevin Byard talked about how the communication was an issue that year, and it seems like that's a problem again this year. How is it that we're backtracking in that area again? This is from Caleb from Gallatin on the text line. I mean, the communication part of it, Joe, really the one thing that stands out to me there is whatever happened with Christian Fulton in the game Sunday on the touchdown by Amari Cooper, where, you know, Vrabel talked about it yesterday, they were in quarters. Obviously, Christian Fulton didn't think they were in quarters. At least I hope not, because if he did.
Ooh, no, he stopped. Rough, yeah. He passed him off to Hooker, and Hooker's like, no, man, you have that quarter of the field deep, so there's that easy touchdown for them.
Yes.
So, yeah, and Vrabel, yeah, was willing to tell everybody that at his press conference yesterday. Which is
unusual.
Yeah, it's not too common.
I don't know that communication is some glaring issue with the Titans defense. It's going to happen at times, but, you know, Byard did talk about that a couple years ago. Now, look, the defense has not lived up to expectations through 3 weeks. I don't think there's any question about that. It's a far cry from that defense in 2020.
Communication that year, sure. Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know, I don't even remember that year some huge communication issue. I'm sure it was talked about, because when you're struggling that much, you talk about everything. I mean, that team could not come close to an opposing quarterback ever.
The communication was, hey, guys, it's third down. We're going to give up this 20-yard pass here. That's what we're going to do.
Exactly. I mean, Jonathan Joseph's in coverage, and Vic Beasley's rushing the passer. Like, yeah, that's the issue.
Allegedly.
That defense had. Yeah. I mean, he did dress. He put on his shoulder pads.
Josh in Kentucky says, the Titans are going to get eaten up this week by that Bengals defense. Going to be fun to watch my Bengals smack them around. I can see a 27-11 type score, and Bengals will have at least 4 sacks. This is from Josh in Kentucky on the text line.
I'm with you on the sacks. I mean, this week is, if there's ever a, you know, put your hand in the dirt, or I'm sorry, in the turf, in the coconut droppings.
Yes.
And fire off the ball.
A beautiful visual.
Thank you. Fire off the ball and run it. If there was ever a week the Titans need to prove that they can actually still run the football, this is the week.
Well, and Nick Suss brought that up. I mean, obviously they got totally stomped in the run blocking part of this against Cleveland. How much better will that be against Cincinnati? Like, it's going to be hard to be worse. So how much better will that be against Cincinnati, where Derrick Henry's not getting hit every time he gets the ball handed off to him from Tannehill immediately as the ball's making contact with him? I mean, the stat, you know, Suss brought up Derrick Henry with 20 yards rushing, and he said 32 yards after contact. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Like, it's amazing how bad that was for the Titans on Sunday. And I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today, that to me is far more concerning than the pass blocking. Like, there's a certain level of expectation I have with this offensive line from a pass blocking standpoint. It's not good. Like, we know it's not good pass blocking offensive line. If coupled with that, all of a sudden you can't block in the running game, then you're just totally screwed offensively. You can't do anything.
Yeah, no, without question. And that just that's been pretty good in 2 weeks. So, again, you need to hope that a few weeks from now we look back and say, my goodness, those Cleveland Browns are just – but I mean, Tomlinson, I mean, they are – I mean, they got a lot of guys up there for sure. It's still very sobering, disappointing performance, but you just got to get back to it. I mean, if you can't do it, if you can't figure out running the football, then it's going to be a more unwatchable offense than last year, which is hard to imagine, but it will be.
But we talked about this after week one, right? Now, week one was different because it was more about the quarterback and him responding against the Chargers. But Vrabel said it yesterday. Like, you know, we talk about the culture all the time, but don't you, like, deep down kind of expect the Titans to go out and play pretty well on Sunday? I don't know if they're going to win, but – like, this is what they do. Like, they play really bad 1 week, and then when you feel like everything's lost with them, they come out and they bring out a good performance. Now, last year, look, they went on a 7-game losing streak. Now, they had some performances in there that were good, given what they had available to them on the roster at the time, and it wasn't good enough to win. And maybe that's the case again on Sunday. But I feel like what we will see Sunday will be a good bounce-back performance from the Titans. I just don't know whether or not that's going to be good enough to win against this Cincinnati team.
Right. I think they'll be in a good football game with the Bengals, but they need to at some point beat the Bengals in a good football game. They have a habit of losing good football games at home to the Bengals.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More on the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
Jared still texting about the cap. Jared went cry about the cap. The cap. Oh, my gosh. I can't even do a fake cry because my voice is so hoarse.
Is that going to be part of his show today? At 2 o'clock and get more into the cap?
Hopefully.
I don't know.
It's 4 hours on the cap, Jared. Tell 4 hours on the how the cap is fake. I'm sure he has nothing else to say today.
I'm sure it'll be real quiet from him coming up at 2 o'clock. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Daniel. Daniel, good morning. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate what you guys do, and I appreciate the wonderful insights you've given. I want to talk about the Titans real quick, and, you know, I've been watching them play for years now. We all know what comes with that. But this particular year, you know, all these fans are really upset about what's going on, but I want to take a step back and, like, ask them, what did they think was going to happen? I really feel like with the way the roster's constructed, you had a team that was going to win somewhere between 6 to 8 games, and then D-Hop comes to town and all of a sudden some expectations get a little bit higher. But the reality is we don't have guys that can win the one-on-one matchups, which is what NFL football is about. You got to beat the guy in front of you more times than not, and we can't do that, especially on the offensive line. So, you know, I'm just asking fans to maybe come back to earth here a little bit and understand that this is what this team was going to be no matter what anyway. And it's just a team that is slightly below average. And if we can get to 7-8 games, that's great. And the thing that you know, is the worst thing about it is you just kind of hope, like, the Jags or somebody would run away with the division. So, you know, maybe we could hopefully have, like, a good pick or something like that. But there we're going to be, you know, 6-7 wins, picking 10, 11, 12, somewhere around in there. So, you know, just telling fans this team is what it is. It's just not a good football team. So thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. I mean, that's a lot of what we talked about in the offseason, Joe, which is, number one, how good is this team going to be? And look, we still don't know, right? I mean, we're 3 weeks in.
Three games.
They beat the Chargers, who I still think the Chargers are a talented football team. I don't know if they're a good football team, but they're a talented football team. And we'll see how they respond on Sunday against Cincinnati. But, you know, a lot of what Daniel was talking about there was what we talked about in the offseason from the fan base, which is, Well, are you good or are you not? Like, get out of the middle is basically what a lot of the Titans fans are screaming about right now.
Well, he just said hopefully they can get to 7-8 wins. To me, that's exactly what you don't want, you know? Like, to be still not with a great pick but not make the playoffs. I mean, it's kind of like the Preds conversation, you know?
Yeah.
The dreaded middle. So, but, I mean, I agree with – I mean, I think there's a lot of matchups that they can't win with the offensive line and – right now, with their secondary, you know, that's been a big disappointment. That's another thing. They need to run the ball this week, but also it's a big, big week for the secondary. They can play better than that. Now, maybe it won't look that way against these receivers. Not the ideal matchup for a bounce-back week for the secondary. But
that's the thing.
They were just inexcusably bad last week.
They were. They were terrible, and some of it's penalties too. Like, quit taking penalties. Christian Fulton, you know, tackling somebody from behind when you're getting torched out there and – and then you look across, and it's T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd coming this week. And like, oh, good. That's maybe not the most ideal scenario to set yourself up for if you're the secondary to have a bounce-back game. You know, I look at this team right now, Joe, and I don't know that – I'm not ready to, like, punt on the season. I know a lot of Titans fans are freaking out based on what they saw on Sunday. They're going to be better offensively, significantly better than what we saw on Sunday. Like, Sunday is, I hope, worst-case scenario for this Titans offensively. Like, I expect them to go out and move the ball on Sunday. I don't know if they'll get into the 20s or not. We'll see what happens. Cincinnati does have a pretty good defense. But I still think, we talked about it earlier in the show, if you can find a way, somehow in the next three games, if you can win two of them, whether that's Sunday against Cincinnati or if it's in London against Baltimore, the Colts game is going to be huge. If you can find a way to be 3-3 at the bye week, then I think you're going to give yourself a shot in the second half of the season. After that break, with the schedule being what it is, you're going to give yourself a shot. It's a tall task. Like, right now, would I guess that they're going to be 3-3 at the bye week? Probably not. My guess is probably 2-4. But even that's not total disaster based on the way the schedule plays out for the Titans in the second half of the year.
I mean, you have to win the Colts game. That, yes. I'll say that. I don't care what happens this Sunday. The Colts game is a must win.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, it would be a big, big deal to find a win in one of the other two. And then, just the way things set up, you're fine. While acknowledging that, you know, even already the rest of the schedule looks a little different. Pittsburgh, I think, looks a little better than I thought. Miami looks ridiculous,
yep,
for example. And look, the Falcons coming in here, Arthur Smith, with that sweet mustache. I don't sleep on them. I mean, I know they lost to the Lions, which should mean
hopefully he's
getting relegated to the USFL, but they're not bad.
Hopefully he's gotten rid of that thing by the time they come in here.
It's a little bit disconcerting. It's an interesting choice by him.
I was watching the Packers-Falcons game, and Arthur Smith had the mustache and the sleeve cut-off hoodie. I was like, what's going on out here?
Right.
Like, it's like a hybrid Belichick.
Is he
out there
auditioning for the sequel to Over the Top or something like that?
It's just like, this is it's an interesting look from old Art out there. Friend of the show, by the way.
That's right. That's right. Who enjoyed coming on the show and making fun of Kaharski.
He did.
But the schedule is, I still think, overall, should be, if you play well, manageable. So 3-3 is a good goal, and it's an attainable goal. I think you said it earlier, and I agree with you. I mean, this to me is the toughest of the three because Burrow is Burrow. They haven't looked like it. He hasn't looked like it a lot, but he finds a way, and he seems to find a way late in these games against the Titans to make that one or two throws that will make the difference. And so would it be – is there a moral victory to be had this week? Probably not. But you know what? After the way they played last week – if they look like a competent professional football team and lose a close game, I mean, I still would feel better about this team moving forward than after this last stinker.
I'm just rooting for the scenario that you threw out there yesterday of when we finally get around to Sunday and pregame intros are being tossed out there. Let's give the kicker and the specialist a little bit of love. Nick Folk running out of the tunnel. Little Ryan Stonehouse.
We got our North End Zone security team.
It's a guy selling peanuts in the third row over here.
Up in the press box, Jimmy White with a Bridges report.
Cameron on the text line says, this team's ceiling is incredibly low. Every game going forward is a must lose. Lose all of them. The tank is in. I don't think we've reached that yet.
I think Vrabel would embrace that. I think Vrabel's into that.
Rabel, if you could finish this season out losing every one of your games, and you could have a 7-game losing streak to end last season, you could win one in the beginning part this year and then lose all of them, that'd be good.
Yeah.
What would that be? I mean, you'd be losing, like, I don't know, like 23 out of 24. That'd go well for you.
Yeah, no. That'd be really – that'd speak well of your NFL coaching existence. Chris says, Joe, you let Robbie say bye week 3 times. Didn't correct him off your – I know.
I tried to see
he's
how many times I could
down.
Do it.
I'm so sick of it. He's worn me down, Chris. I'll get back on it tomorrow,
try to see how many times I could do it. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.